please. The first Samuel. Thank you. 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 Okay, sit down. Thank you very much. Sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Be seated. Thank you. Sit down. Sit down. First Kings. First Kings, please. Chapter 21. Well, somebody say amen. First Kings chapter 21, please. First Kings chapter 21. You won't be shouting when I get through with you. First Kings chapter 21, please. I'm going to read the first three verses. First Kings chapter, in fact, first four verses. First Kings chapter 21, please, and beginning with verse 1. First Kings chapter 21 and verse 1. If you have that, would you stand, please? Stand back up. Stretch just for a moment. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it. For if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth, God bless Naboth. Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me to give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his 50-50 bed, and turned away his face, and would eat no Big Mac. I want to talk to you about the subject. I want you to listen carefully about the subject of not for sale. Not for sale. And let's pray. Now, Father, help me tonight. I want to be a blessing. I want to help. Holy Ghost of God, please teach us a great truth tonight. And may we have some men who are mature. May we have some folks they'll not tell what you've given them. Help me to help tonight, please. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for you to pick up with verse 5, please, of 1 Kings chapter 21. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no Big Mac? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I'll give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, I used to have a sermon here, a priest, take me to your leader. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern? I'm sorry. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, eat bread, and let thine heart be merry, and I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth to the Jezreelite. You almost feel the hit. For he wrote letters in Ahab's name, Take me to your leader. And sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast. Set Naboth on high among the people. Set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, "Thou didst blaspheme God and the king," and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in their city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, "Take me to your leader." And as it was written in the letters which he had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Eliab, and sat before him. And the men of Eliab witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth did blaspheme God, and Naboth did blaspheme God and the king." Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth is stoned and is dead." And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead." And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, and take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." And Ahab said to Elijah, "Hast thou found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." The vineyard could be found often on a hillside, a peak, or sometimes it would be terrace. It was surrounded by a hedge or a stony wall to keep out destructive animals. A tower was often erected for the watchman. A press was constructed, and a large vat was hewn out of stone. Laborers were sometimes hired to work in that vineyard. For it was necessary to prune it. It was necessary to dig about it. It was necessary to pull the weeds and so on. Now get the picture. At Jezreel lived Naboth, a good, upstanding citizen whose ancestors had occupied the same land for many generations before him. The land contained a vineyard which happened to be just outside the palace walls of wicked King Ahab. The king wanted to plant an herb garden, and in his search for a plot of ground that he thought would be the best plot of ground, he noticed Naboth's vineyard. Naboth's vineyard was obviously a very desirable piece of ground for what the king wanted to do, simply because of the investment that Naboth had made in that vineyard. The desire for Naboth's vineyard kept bothering the king, and it wouldn't go away. The desire became more overwhelming by the moment. King Ahab then approaches Naboth, the scripture says, with what might seem to some a reasonable offer for the land Naboth owned. However, this land was inherited land. This land was inherited, and Naboth was the protector as well as the possessor. This ancestral possession with the Lord as his witness caused Naboth to shun King Ahab's offer, and Naboth said, "It is not for sale." In actuality, the law forbade the selling of the land. You see, this land could not be sold. The law stated that the selling of the land divided and given to certain families could not be consummated because the land was God's land given to a certain family And that family was not only to possess it, but that family was to protect it, because the land belonged to God. Naboth was exactly correct in refusing the king's offer on the basis of two things. First of all, legally, he could not sell it. Second of all, spiritually, he could not sell it. King Ahab, not willing to use force, then tries to negotiate a fair value, either in money or better land for Naboth's vineyard. But verse 3 makes it very plain in his response. And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me." Naboth would have been a fool to turn down such an offer, some might say. But Naboth must obey God rather than man. Thus he says, "Not for sale." The king was upset. The king was distraught, discouraged, and dismayed about Naboth's refusal to make a deal with him. Or worse than that, Naboth wouldn't even consider the proposition. The king, like so many, has now let his emotions and his feelings come before the will of God. He is so emotional about it now, he doesn't care if it's illegal. He's so emotional now, he doesn't care if it's spiritually wrong. But Naboth just simply replies, "The Lord forbid me." Now, why wouldn't Naboth strike a deal with the king? Let me tell you, first of all, he knew who wanted it, and he knew what kind of a religion the king and queen followed. He said, "It is not for sale, because I know what you're going to do with it. You don't worship my God. You don't serve my God. And if I sell this to you, or I trade this to you, you will take that which legally belongs to God, that which spiritually belongs to God. You worship Baal. You don't worship God. And if I sell it, I know exactly, or trade, I know exactly what you're going to do." Second of all, he knew who the land really belonged to. By the way, when you sell out, do you realize who you're selling out to? When you sell your family out, and you sell your church out, and you sell your bus route out, you sell your Bible, you listen to me and listen to me well, there is a different ownership that's going to take over. And if it's not your God, what in God's name are you doing selling what doesn't belong to you? He knew who would take over. And he knew who the land really belonged to. Third, he knew he was given the inheritance at a great price. He thought about how hard his daddy had worked. Anybody listening to me? He thought about how hard his grandpa had worked. He sat there and he thought about how hard his great-grandpa had worked. How they'd maintained, how they'd protected, how they had watered, how they had sweated, how they had toiled, how they had fought in order to keep the land as it should be. Ladies and gentlemen, none of us have a right to sell something that does not belong to us. Let me say it again. Nobody has a right to sell what does not belong to you. You can't go out in the parking lot tonight and start auctioning off cars that are parked out there. In the first place, you wouldn't get very much. Why can't you do that? Because they're not yours. They don't belong to you, and you can't sell them. Well, what gives you a right to sell your Bible? What gives you a right to sell your church? What gives you a right to sell once saved, always saved? What gives you a right to sell your music? Ladies and gentlemen, it's not your Bible. It's not your church. It's not your doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, this belongs to God Almighty. King Ahab got mad because he knew Naboth was right. So he goes home, and in the money pie, says, "What's the matter, darling?" He goes home and acts like a three-year-old who can't get his way. King Ahab here is a picture of the devil in the world. Naboth here pictures you and I who are in God's family. The vineyard here pictures what God has entrusted with you and with myself. So here's the devil going about trying to make deals with God's people about what God has entrusted us with. Because if he can get the possession, don't miss this, he can get the person. Let me say it again. If he can get the possession, he can get the person. Don't forget this. If Satan can get what you have, he automatically has you. So the next time you turn around and the battle is too rough and it's too hard and you want to sell, you remember it's a lot more than you just lowering your standards as a preacher. You're selling something that does not legally belong to you. You're selling something that is not spiritually yours. But when you sell it and you give it to the devil, you're not just giving the standards. You're not just giving the church. You are giving yourself. The devil has no interest in destroying the church or the believers in the church. All he wants is ownership. The devil, let me say it again, can get the possession, he can get the person. If the devil can get what you have, then he'll have you. There's no doubt that at the present we're living under the rule of a wicked king in this old world. But there are certain rights and privileges that the devil cannot violate. And Satan wants to make a deal. But our cry ought to be tonight, as that sign says there, loud I cry ought to be, not for sale. When you put a for sale sign up, you're saying, I'm quitting. I no longer want what I had. I no longer want my car. I no longer want my house. I no longer want my land. Are you listening to me? You're saying, I no longer want my business. I no longer want this boat, and I no longer want this furniture. And all over America, people are putting up for sale signs on things that they no longer want. It's not a matter of whether you want it or not. It's a matter of not, does it belong to God? Everybody has a down day, and everybody feels a little sad, and sometimes the feelings become overwhelming. But I don't care, pal. If you're married, you've got a wife and some children, you've got a responsibility. Who gives a flip how you feel? Boy, when the devil starts coming after you, pastoring a church, and the devil tries to kill you, who cares how you feel? That church doesn't belong to you. That church belongs to God Almighty. Christian schools all over America have for sale signs up. All over America, standards are up for sale. Convictions have for sale signs on them. The Word of God has a for sale sign on it. Ministries have for sale signs on them. Bus routes have for sale signs. Sunday school classes have for sale signs. Purity has a for sale sign on it. Marriage has a for sale sign on it. The Baptist Church has a for sale sign on it. Soul winning has a for sale sign on it. Life has a for sale sign on it. Walk with God has a for sale. Children are up for sale. Churches are up for sale. The will of God is up for sale. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you tonight, you have no right to sell that which does not belong to you. There's some things you ought to remember tonight before you make a deal with wicked, the wicked king of this world. I'm going to give you seven of them quickly. Number one, don't try to write it down. Look at me. Remember, it is illegal, an illegal transaction. You have no legal right to sell what you're selling. Look, just because you're tired of it, just because you let it run down, just because you've neglected it, just because you've not spent time trying to improve on what you've been given by God Almighty, you have no legal right to sell what you're selling. Tonight I'm an independent, fundamental, premillennial, temperamental Baptist, and bless God, I'm not for sale. You charismatic can't have me. I'm not for sale. Put your big wide screens up on the wall. Get your little choruses. You just have your little worship service. Call it a worship hour or worship auditorium. But I'm independent, fundamental, premillennial, temperamental Baptist. I'm not for sale. Buddy, you can talk like a turkey. You can walk like a turkey. You can do what you want to. Go to California every other week, you little wimp. But I am not for sale. Brother, I'm a little sick and tired of you independent Baptists trying to emulate a bunch of folks that believe in a work salvation. Brother, I don't believe in a work salvation. I believe in salvation and faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not a charismatic. Somebody say amen. Brother, tonight we've lost it. We've lost our fight. We've lost our kick. We've lost our bite. Something's wrong. Give me that thing. There's something wrong. Brother, tonight, get your fight back. Get your fight back. Brother, I've worked too hard, too long to settle down. Somebody say amen. Yet some of you little hussies tonight are starting to wear the lipstick of the world. You're starting to put splits in your dresses. You're starting to look like the stinking world. There's something wrong with you, gal. Get your stinking heart right for God. Are you for sale? I got in this thing in 1972, and buddy, she was hot. I mean, this movement was chugging. But tonight, we find a bunch of folks selling out. You've lost your guts. You don't go sowing it anymore. You haven't got any standards. You have no convictions. You don't think. You don't use your head. Listen, don't sell out. It doesn't belong to you. It's illegal. It's not a legal transaction for you to sell your church. It's not a legal transaction for you to sell your Christian school standards. It's not a legal transaction for you to sell your conviction. It is not a legal transaction for you to sell the Word of God. It's not a legal transaction for you to sell your bus route. It's not a legal transaction for you to sell your Sunday school class. It's not a legal transition for you to come along and sell God's purity and God's marriages and God's family and God's Baptist tract. Not yours for sale. It's illegal. Now when you get ready to sell, just remember, it's illegal. You might as well go out and sell somebody's home. It's not yours. You have no right. How come you're not smiling? Matter, you plan on leaving your husband? Be up for sale? Your wife up for sale? You know the best thing in the world some of you women do is go in and quit your job tomorrow. Anytime there's a third party and a marriage is busted up, here's what he always says. I met her at Uh-huh. Somebody talk to me. Or she says, I met him at. In God's dear name, stay home and raise those kids. Live in a buck tent if you have to. But don't sell your marriage. Don't sell your marriage. Don't sell your marriage. Don't sell your marriage. Come on, honey, smile, because you know I'm coming back there. I didn't buy this Tammy Faye microphone to stay up here. How are we doing in the balcony? You doing okay? How about this side of the balcony? You doing okay? Number two, remember when you sell God's possessions, you give the devil yourself to boot. And Satan gets what belongs to God, he gets you too. You ought to rather die. You ought to rather die. Son, I don't know about you, but I worked too hard and too long just to sell. Number three, remember those who've labored before you. You are here tonight and you're enjoying the blessings tonight because somebody bled and died. Mama, daddy, a pastor, Sunday school teacher, men of God, hold it! Before you put the for sale sign up, hold it! Before you put the for sale sign up, hold it! Remember, it's illegal, you can't do it! And remember, when you do it, you're selling you with what you're selling! And remember the price that others paid to get you where you're at! I say number four, remember those who labor with you. Please remember them. But if I sell out this dear man and his family, we work together. He's dependent upon me. These men are dependent upon me. I've got children. I've got grandchildren. They're dependent upon me. You little punks tonight, you're living your own little world. You never think about the influence of the little junior, the little second grade boy, and the third grade boy, and the seventh grade boy looking up to you punks in the high school, and you act like a stinking yard bird. There are others looking to you. Last number five, remember those who will follow you. Please remember those who will follow you. Before you put the for sale sign up, number six, you remember there will be a new owner taking over. We used to go up north, had the kids, and we told the kids where we used to live. And we'd drive, turn, and I said, they'd look up. So that's the house, and the kids said, could we go in? Not now. It doesn't belong to us anymore. I sat and talked to a preacher who pastored a great church. Tears began to flow down his face. He looked at me and he raised his right arm. He said, I give my right arm to have it back. He said, I'm as much out of God's will as a man can be. He said, I resigned in the heat of the moment. Tears came down his face. He said, I give my right arm. I could have that church back. One of these days, you listen to me, well, if you sell out, one of these days, you'll be saying, I'd give my right arm to have it back. Well, in God's dear name, you got it now. You got the arm and what you have. I'll say quickly, number seven, remember, it's not yours to sell. You know, think about this. The only reason you won't sell anything is because you let it run down. Well, you know, that car, I just want to sell. Why do you want to sell it? Well, I'd like to get a new one. And well, why do you want to get a new one? Well, it uses a little oil and out of line a little bit and the tires, you know. And I don't know what that thing is in there, but it's a good car and it runs too much. But if it's a good car, why are you selling it? Well, I'd like to get a new car and so. But why are you selling that one? I'll tell you why you're selling it, pal. Because you let the thing go down. You didn't change your oil. You didn't keep the front end alignment, and you let the thing go down. And that's why you want another church. And that's why you want another wife. And that's why you want another husband. And that's why you want another church. And that's why you want another preacher. And that's what, somebody talk to me. The only reason the for sale sign is out is because you let the weeds grow up in the front yard You let the shingles fall off. You let the roof get leaky. Listen, why don't you go home tonight and take some pride in what you're doing? Somebody say amen. You guys are idiots. You know that? If you haven't learned anything else this week, you're an idiot. You get up in the morning and you go to the kitchen and you put the coffee pot on and you go around and you take a shower and you don't say, and here comes your wife in a 1908 robe with the armpit hanging out, her hair in curvers. She's got this thick stuff on her face. She looks like the masked bandit. And she comes to take breakfast and get ready to leave. And she says, let me kiss you goodbye. He's saying to himself, I'd rather get hit by a Mack truck. So then you go off down to work and you go down there. And here comes this secretary out. She smells good. She looks good. And she said, would you like a cup of coffee? And all you're thinking about is that Frankenstein you left back home. And then you look at this thing and you think about that thing. I got news for you, son. At 3 o'clock in the morning, they all look alike. And I'm going to tell you, if Avon ever quits calling, you're going to find out. Now the guy said, she's so pretty. You don't know. How do you know? I tell every young man, you ought to get permission from the parents. Go over at 3 o'clock in the morning, wake her up, pull the sheet back, and go, ah! Say, boy, I tell you what, he's such a hawk. Yeah, and not be long, he'll be gone. You just wait. At age 50, they all look alike. I see in your future. Two cities in Arkansas named after you, Bald Knob and Plainview. Now, he's going to heaven because the Bible says there'll be no parting up there. But anyway. All right, you're going to heaven because you never reached the age of accountability. It's over here. No wonder your place is for sale. You know why it's for sale? You're lazy. You never plow. You never water. You never plant. You never hoe. You never harvest. No wonder your vineyard has a for sale side out. You never work your bus out. You never work your Sunday school class. You never work on your church. You never work on your Christian school. You don't work on your marriage. You don't work on your children. You don't work on your soul. You don't work on your walk with God. And the truth is, you never sell a thing until it runs down. A man who will remodel his house, plow and make a rough field into a good field, landscape the yard, paid and fixed up the outside of his house. That man who stands with sweat dripping off of his brow, sunburned, and then someone walks up and says, let me trade you. Trade me? You nuts? Can't you see the sweat? Can't you see the sunburn? Can't you see the calluses on my hand? Sell? You think I want to sell? You think I want something better? But you ain't got nothing for me. Somebody, how we doing, balcony? Why, you tell him to go take a long walk over short pier. You know why? You've worked too hard. I'm going to give you some things tonight that are not fulfilling. First of all, next time you get ready to sell, I want you to remember this. Go on out to a tree. Next time you want to resign, you want to quit your church. Just stand right there, son. Oh, somebody shout. The next time that deacon comes after you, the next time that heifer in training comes after you, the next time they spread rumors on you, the next time they lie about you, the next time you get a broken heart and the finances are down and it looks rough and you're ready to quit, you just remember those precious families that trusted you. They gave their life to you. They said, "You'll be my man of God. You'll be my preacher, and I'll trust you with my children. I'll trust you with their future. I'll trust you with their education. I'll trust you with their standards. I'll trust you with the right Bible. I'll trust you." Somebody say amen. Talk to me up there. Not for sale. Not for sale. Not for sale. I'll give $2 to you, Pastor. Not for sale. I'm just about the only pastor this girl's ever known. You don't know. I say, Pastor, in that often, I've had this sweet, wonderful as a teenager in that office. What are you laughing at? Paula was worse than her. The kid. And come in and fuck that foot like that. Do that to me. Now listen to me. Start crying. Okay. Women are always there. Okay. I don't know what that means. Okay. Women cry and you say, "What are you crying for?" "I'm happy." Not for sale. Did you hear what I said? Now you families who don't like this kind of preaching, you don't like this hellfire damnation preaching, then you just find your little Methodist whip somewhere, or you just crack your little duds and hit the road, shack, don't you come back no more. But the truth of the matter is, somebody's got to stand up and say, "Families in my church are not for sale. You can't have them. You can't have them, devil." Next time you get ready to sell, I'll show you something else you ought to think about. Not only the families who trust you, but the Sunday school teacher and the students in that class. And next time you get tired and hear it, why don't you go right for sale? And then go hang it on the Sunday school teacher and say, "You're just for sale. I don't much care. You're for sale." But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you tonight, some of you ought to, instead of saying "for sale," ought to put up "not for sale." You say, "But preacher, the story didn't turn out very well. Naboth died." I'd rather die with courage. You listen to me. I'd rather die with courage than to live as a man that was a failure without courage. Yeah. the preacher ain't going to fire me. They ought to. You ought to get the fired up, scare the fire out of them, and they won't fire you. Fire out of them. Get it? That's a good one. Not to say. Next time, you get ready. Go down. You remember the face of the Sunday school teacher. This good man happened to be a deacon in this church, and he was a part of the original deacon board. This dear man watched me to find out if I was real. Never fought me. But he just watched. And then one day he walked up to me after a year and a half, 2 years. He said, I think you're real. And he put his confidence in me. Wait a minute. I'm starting my 20th year. I can't tell them. For the first place, there's nobody buying. But it's not for sale. Look, why don't you go home and get passionate about what you're doing? Why don't you go home? That's why you got that lackadaisical look, that nonchalant, laissez-faire type of look on your face. You're not dying for anything. You're not living for anything. Ladies and gentlemen, those Sunday school classes ought to be something you put a not for sale sign on. Thank you. By the way, John David, can I ask? Unfortunately, Dane Matten is his dad, but we had a church split here hoping that Dane would leave, but he stayed. They got married and could not have any children. I prayed for them. I can't tell them. It's funny. The more there's times I can experience like that in a restaurant. Well, where'd you get that coat? It looks like a sport coat of mine. Years ago. Is it really? You're kidding me. Oh, that was part of the auction. Is that what that was? No. I was, what? Did I give it? What are you doing, my coat on? I sold it. I just got at one time in our nurseries we had 4 babies in there. And I believe with all my heart that I anointed the families and faithful when God gave them kids. So one lady came in and said, I've had my tooth tied for and I still want to have a baby. I had the section to itself. I still want to have a baby. Would you pray about this? I'm not a whole lover. I can't do it. I don't do stuff like that. You go to the doctor and get fixed. He said, I don't want to. I want you to pray for me. I said, well, okay. So I prayed for her. Now she's got a teenage girl in the school. How can I tell her? Now, sometimes I wouldn't give you 2 fixed for her, but how can I tell her? Thank you. Give him a hand, would you please? Show you something else you need to think about when you get ready to sell out. When it comes to your bus route, you ought to hang a not for sale sign on it. 1st door I knocked on in Longview, Texas was for the Hollister's door, Mrs. Hollister's door. They were a couple. He was a long-haired hippie. And she was Mrs. Hippie. Now he's a deacon in our church and a bus captain. How could you say? Put a face to it, pal. Quit worrying about your feelings and how you feel about it and expect to be out there 3 hours, and well, we wouldn't want to do anything hard, would we? The truth is, tonight, all over this nation, there are neglected bus routes that are being sold because they're neglected. Buddy, you say what you want to say, you just do what you want to do. We're going to keep adding buses, we're going to get more buses. We're going to add more buses. We're going to win more boys and girls to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Why don't you decide tonight to put not for sale signs up? Thank you. Oh boy, this is where we part company here. You've amen so far. You're not going to amen anymore. Bring them out, would you please? Let's say something else not for sale. Minority. Stand up here. Did you hear what I said? I said minorities are not for sale. Did you hear what I said? I said minorities are not for sale. Did you hear what I said? Every little black boy, every little black girl, every little Spanish boy, every little... Did you hear what I said? I said they're not for sale. I said they're not for sale. Now you do what you want to do about it, but I don't much care. They're not for sale. I said they're not for sale. Oh, if America could get back to care about keeping people out of hell and quit worrying about their color. Are we doing okay, balcony? Somebody say amen. Brother, I'm sick and tired of getting blasted because we baptize blacks and Mexicans. Aren't you get your stinking heart right with God? Why don't you decide tonight to fall in love with everybody? Somebody say amen. God, deliver us from this Ku Klux Klan mentality. Deliver us from this prejudicial attitude about mankind. A little black boy burns in hell just like a little white boy does. Now you kick and you fuss all you want to, making me mad. All I'm going to do is add another bus route, add another division, and win me about 25 more, 50 more, 70. Somebody say amen. I said they're not for sale. 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 You stinking hypocrite. You stinking hypocrite. You got a missions program. You are a stinking, low-down, skunky, backslidden hypocrite. Somebody say amen. How dare you? How dare you say we're using minority to build our numbers? How dare you say that? You want to fight, pal? By the way, some of you women could nod your head up and down. That'd help. You could wave a hanky. You could show a little support for it. Somebody help me. Let me ask you a question. If you honkies are so good looking, how come God didn't make more of you? Three quarters of the world is slant-eyed. Donkey, 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 donkey. I'm sorry. You're Filipino, aren't you? I'm sorry. What did it say, Filipino? Ask me to say Filipino. Filipino? Filipino. That's what I'm... What's the matter with you? Now look at me. I catch more heat over this than anything else that I do. But ask me if I care. Ask me if I care. Ask me if I care. Boy, you'd have had a tough time on the day of Pentecost. Number 225, number 226, number 227, number 220. You'd have jumped him back. Hold it! He's flying! He's padding his numbers with a black. Yeah, and if you'd done that on the day of Pentecost, you'd have been right in there with Ananias and Sapphira, too. There is going to be a bloodbath in America. You're going to see blood spilt all over the major cities in America. You let a famine hit. You let that Dow bust. You let that market go down, and you thinking folks have let the black people go to hell, they're going to turn on you and slice your ever-living throat. And you listen to me tonight. We can do something about it now if you get your stinking heart right with God. You say, well, I'm not coming back. We knew that before we got started. Somebody say amen. Not for sale. Not for sale. Not for sale. I said 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 not for sale. Thank you. Number six. So something else not for sale. Hopefully we're going to show you something else not for sale. That's the church not for sale. Hey, worship center. Baptist Church not for sale. I said the Baptist Church is not for sale. Once saved, always saved. 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 What are you doing around this stuff? Save, law, save, law, save, law, save, law. You'd make coffee nervous. You're as confusing as a termite in a yo-yo. Poor gospel, my foot. It doesn't even last 24 hours. I wouldn't walk across the street to tell somebody how to get saved if I thought they'd lose it before I got back. I said Baptist Church. John B. John B. John B. Come on, try it, boys. John B. Let's say John the Methodist. Hallelujah. Let's say John the Lutheran. John B. John B. Well, what in God's name are you folks in California doing? I'm not going to be a part of anything started by a woman. That's why I quit Weight Watchers. Found out it was started by a woman. Amy Simple McPherson. Amy Simple Drunk McPherson. Started the Foursquare Gospel Movement. From that came your movement. By the way, you know where they came from? The Methodists. You know where the Methodists came from? The Catholics. You know where the Catholics come from? Hell. I'm not a reformer. Bless God, I'm a Baptist. Somebody say amen. By the way, don't get mad at me. God should have just as easily said John the Lutheran, but he didn't. John B. baptized Jesus. Thus Jesus must be a... Number seven! Not for sale. Something's coming out that's not for sale. Not for sale. Hey, NIVers, it's not for sale. Hey, American Standard Possessor, it's not for sale. It is not legally right for you to sell it. It is not spiritually right for you to sell it. God has entrusted you as a possessor to be the protector of that book right there. Come on, balcony, help me out. Listen to this. In 1860, the first Bible perversion was published in America. Listen carefully. In 1861, the Civil War began. In 1914, the World Bible Society adopted the NASB. In 1915, that was the start of World War I. Listen to me. In 1927, William Feronius, an American Bible scholar, said that the RSB are the exact words of Christ. Listen to this. In 1929, the Stark Market sang. In 1940, the TEV is accepted by the Social Ministerial Society as, and I quote, the exact words of Christ. And in 1941, Pearl Harbor was attacked, and we started and thrown into World War II. In 1960, the American Council of Churches accepted and promoted the NRSB as the words of God, and in 1962, prayer was banned from our public schools. In 1971, the NIV was widely used and accepted by Baptist preachers. In 1972, the death penalty was voted as unconstitutional. In 1988, the King James Bible Defenders came out of the woodwork. They began to come from all over this nation and or even around the world to stand up for the King James Bible. And in 1989, communism in Europe fell. Did you hear what I said? Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you tonight, that book is not for sale. The existence of our nation, our security, depends on that book. Not for sale. I said not for sale. I said not for sale. I said not for sale. Say, preacher, I agree with everything except the minority. I am scared to death. I saw the way you looked. Somebody before the Lord called me years ago and said, your name came up for a national platform speaker years ago. And somebody said, which Bob Green? Somebody said, well, the one from Texas. He said, man, you'd have thought somebody had thrown a grenade in that room. People diving for cover. One guy said, oh, no, we can't have him. Oh, no. This friend of mine said, well, why not? Oh, he said, he baptizes black. Is this working? And then second they said, there ain't no telling what he'll say. And there ain't no telling what I'll say. I don't even know what I'm going to say. Not for sale. I said not for sale. I said not for sale. Did you hear me? I said not for sale. Say, well, you made me mad. I'm not coming back. We need the room. Oh, how did you run home and ask the Jesse to help you? Not for sale. Hey, freaking. You're going to quit working. I can go home and put a not for sale sign in your church. You sent some teenagers around here. I just took some of Rainer's chicken neck. Then I see a not for sale sign. And below that says, do not demolish. Go back and love them again. Not for sale. I've been married to this wonderful, wonderful lady back here for 34 years. Oh, what? What a strawberry! Why in God's name would I want to start over? We're having a time. Our kids are gone. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my kids are gone. We actually have milk in our refrigerator. There is actually peanut butter in the cupboard. Kimberly came to me and said, Dad, I'm going to break your heart. I said, what happened? She said, I'm in love. Who you love with? You're supposed to love me. She said, Mark Green. I said, that big, tall, skinny drink of water. He has to dance in the shower in order to get wet. You're in love with him. Oh, Daddy, I'm in love. No, darling, you're not picking it up. Married, don't you? Well, Daddy, the people in love need to get married. You're not that you could be leaving home. You're not going to leave Daddy, are you? He said, I know it's going to be hard, but Daddy, it's hard to get married and stay here and be married to him over there. All I need is to remember. heaven. I'm going to miss you. He comes to me and he says, Dad, I'm in love. With who? With Kelly. Kelly? That 8-year-old little funny thing? He said, Dad, she's not 8 anymore. He said, she's a beautiful young lady. I said, yes, he said, about that tall. And she said, she grew up, and you're love with her? Yes, Dad, he said, I want to get married. No more baseball. No more football. No more fun together. You're getting married. Let me get my composure.
Yes! Two down! Two to go!
Son, I have come too far now to turn back. I have passed the point of no return. Nowhere to go to finish up. How about you? I don't care what pulpit, what church, I don't care who it is offering me anything. I ain't going. I am in love with this church. With my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and my Bible. Father, help us tonight.